put this light on? Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's time to begin our morning service. I'm going to do so by reading a couple of announcements. This announcement from North Canyon High School. Pamela's graduation is going to be on Thursday, May 29th at 7:30 p.m. at the North Canyon High School football field. The other one is from Susanna Marie Case and from the Fairfield High School. They're going to have their commencement exercises on Sunday afternoon, June 1st. And it says admission by ticket only. But you can send her a card. Let's turn to number 195. Number 195. Can you stand, please? At 8 o'clock, Chandra was operated on, and we don't know what the outcome of that is. May still be in the operating room, and she may be out by now, but let's keep Chandra in our prayers today. And she did have gallbladder surgery. Would you kneel with me in a word of prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, we are truly thankful for all that you have done for us, for the goodness and the kindness that you have shown unto us, for watching over us, for caring for us. for being patient with our wayward ways, for being patient, Father, with us in so many ways. We pray, O Lord, that you will have mercy upon us in these days of trial upon the face of the earth, when some of your wrath will be poured out upon the nations of men. We ask and pray, O Father, that you will help us, that we may be able to draw closer unto thy Son, to become more like him, to become more meek and more submissive, more humble to thy will. Pray, Father, for forgiveness for our weaknesses, and pray that you'll bless us this day as we listen to the message, that indeed we can be strengthened and helped to overcome our weaknesses. We pray, O Father, that you will rebuke the adversary in our midst, and that you will cause him to flee from us. In Christ's name we pray all these things. Amen. This afternoon at 3:30, there's going to be a choir practice. 5:30, a song service. 6 p.m., a preaching service with Brother Gordon McCann. Tomorrow evening, Monday at 6 p.m., there's going to be a priesthood meeting. Wednesday at 6 p.m. is the children's children will hear at 6 p.m. At 7 p.m. is a worship service. And on Friday, if you would like to go to the IMAX, please meet at the Arizona Mills Food Court at 6:15. And next Saturday, there's going to be a baby blessing of Caleb and Gage here at church, right? Yeah. And next Sunday, 9:45 Sunday school, 11 a.m., Brother Bill Malone is going to be the preacher. And a choir in the afternoon at 3:30 and 5:30 p.m., a song service. And there's going to be a Parents' Day program, and there's a sign-up sheet in the back in the kitchen if you would like to participate in next Sunday's Parents' Day program. Please take a look at that if you'd like to.
The tickets for the Arizona Mills IMAX have been purchased.
Oh, okay.
If you purchased one and you'd like to join us for dinner, we'll be meeting at 6:15 in the food court.
Okay. All right, we're going to sing for our second song, number 125. Number 125. Please stand. When we're in Mexico, they always announce and they say, now we have come to the moment that is most important in our service, and that is when our brother will speak the word of God to us. So I ask that you would give to him your respect and your kind attention for his office and for his duty before us this day, and to give him your prayers, Brother Ken Orr.
Thank you, Jay. I do stand in need of your prayers this morning, as always. As we sang our second song, I was reminded of a dream a sister had not too long ago, where she saw the Lord walking across a yard and turned to one house, and somebody invited the Lord in. And he said, no, I can't come in. I've tried to get into your house for years, for a long time, and you would not let me in, and now I can't come in. And this lady, he turned and he looked at her, and he said, she said to him, said, do you want to come into my house? And he said, yes, I do. So if we sang this song, 125, the Savior at your door. Behold, the Savior at your door, your kindest, truest friend, is seeking entrance to your heart, your life with his to blend. Perhaps that's the message that I have this morning, that the Lord would be able to enter fully into our hearts. Monday night, as we met together in a study group, you know, the question was asked about Peter. The Lord asked Peter three times, do you love me? And Peter's answer was, Lord, thou knowest I do. But he answered with the word that we'd use as, yeah, I love you as a friend, as a brother, a sister. Not with that true spiritual love that we must have for Christ. I think we all love him. I think we all try to serve him, but sometimes perhaps we serve him as a friend, a brother, and not as our master. John 14, the 15th verse, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. The Lord was always very simple, very direct in his speech. He didn't waste a lot of words. He didn't go into the long, long sermons. He was very direct. If you love me, keep my commandments. Simple statement. If you have that love for me that you're supposed to have, then keep my commandments. In Jay's prayer this morning, he mentioned the Lord. He thanked the Lord for his patience with us. And I think about that many times, how patient the Lord is with us, his wayward children. Because, you know, we all stand before God as sinners. Not one of us in our own strength, in our own life, in our own heart, our own mind, our own doings, can ever stand righteous before God. It is only through his mercy that we can stand perfect. This morning, as I was praying about this sermon, as I was trying to collect the thoughts that had been going through my mind all week and trying to put them in an order that would make sense, my thoughts kept going to obedience. That we must be obedient to the Word of God without question. Putting all our personal thoughts, emotions, desires to the side, and going to God, seeking his direction, seeking his will in our lives, and being willing to yield to his will. I think we've all done this. How many times have we gone to God and we have a problem or we have something that we need an answer for, a direction in our life, what to do, what kind of a job to have, where to go to school, you know, et cetera, et cetera. There's lots of things that we ask God about. And we get down on our knees and we sincerely ask God, and we get up. And then we start thinking, well, how can I do this? What can I do? Where should I go? Kind of just putting God to the side in our thought process, where He may have a completely different idea for our lives than we have. Or we may have the same goal. God and you or me, we may have the same goal, but He may have a different direction for us to accomplish that goal. We always have to be open and willing to yield to the Spirit of God. If you love me, keep my commandments. God, in His mercy, sent His Son to die for us, that we could have eternal life. And those of us who have entered into the waters of baptism and laid hold of the promise that has been given to us in the Scriptures have that opportunity of eternal life. Sometimes, and this is the burden perhaps of my sermon this morning, sometimes once we've made our covenant, once we've made that commitment, that we kind of relax. That we kind of relax in our walk before God, and we have this thought in the back of our mind that the mercy of Christ is going to make everything okay. And it will. Don't get me wrong, it will, but you know, and there's that big but in our life that we have to obey God. To receive that promise of eternal life, to receive that promise that will be presented perfect to our Heavenly Father, we must obey. And sometimes I think that we, because of this mercy and because of God's love, that we kind of justify things in our life. We justify certain actions or certain thoughts or certain desires. Kind of sometimes forgetting that God is not a respecter of persons. Just because my name is on the records of the Church of Christ is no guarantee. Well, I fulfilled my obligation of baptism. I fulfilled my obligation to take upon me the name of Christ. But now I have to fulfill my obligation to serve, to be obedient. You know, God gave us thoughts, He gave us desires, He gave us emotions. But sometimes that's all they are, is thoughts and desires and emotions. Sometimes we have to set those aside to be completely open to the leading of God's Spirit. God speaks to us. He may not. It may not be an audible voice. He may not come to you in the middle of the night and call you by name and speak to you. He may not cause a servant to stand in the congregation and call you by name and speak to you. But God speaks. God will speak in a variety of ways. You know, I found in my life sometimes that I prayed about situations, I prayed what to do, I prayed about things, and God didn't come and say, this is what I want you to do, and this is what I don't want you to do. But I would go off in a direction, and the door would not open. The door would be slammed in my face. And I'd go in another direction, and the door would be closed. And God, by closing doors sometimes to what we want to do, directs us through this maze of life. That's one way He talks to us. Or He may open a door. He may turn one way, and all of a sudden this door opened. You never thought of it before. And this is the direction that God wants us. I have desires. We all have desires. We all have things that we want to do. But it may not be what God wants us to do. God never changes. God never changes. And well, 2 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy for a moment. I'd like to read a scripture. Kind of puts us where we are today. And part of the thoughts that came to my mind was because of the day and the time that we live in. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read about the first 5 verses of the 3rd chapter of 2 Timothy. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And aren't we in perilous times? You can't look at the news without hearing of another suicide bomb or other catastrophes in this world. Tornadoes and earthquakes and famines and floods. Perilous times. You know, in Luke, Jesus said that there was perplexity. There was no solution. There's no solution to the terrorists. There isn't. I don't think there is. There's no solution to the problem in the Middle East. Man can't figure it out. God is the only one. So we live in perilous times. We live in dangerous times. You know, you read the email from Brother Brian and Buzz. Perilous times in Africa. Perilous times in the Philippines. Perilous times. It's getting more and more dangerous to spread the gospel. But isn't it funny, though? The more dangerous it gets, the more opportunities that God gives us to do it. It's His work. It's His work, and He will direct it, and He will guide it. And it doesn't matter how dangerous it is. If God is in control, it will get accomplished. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Doesn't that describe the world today? Doesn't that describe this nation especially? Especially lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Don't interfere with what makes me happy. Don't interfere with me having a good time. Don't interfere with the good life. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And maybe that's the crux of this reading. From such turn away. I think we spend far too much time associating, going along with these people, grasping and laying hold of their philosophies and their ideas and participating in their sins and in their iniquities. He says, from such, turn away. We turn away from those who are lovers of their own selves, who are covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Turn away from them, not to associate with them. Those that are disobedient to parents. Those that are unthankful. Those that are unholy. Those that don't have natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Turn away. Have no association with them. No association with their philosophy, with their ideas, with their leadings. Turn away. Those that are traitors, those that are heady, those that are high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Turn away. You know, and I read the Old Testament, and I read of God's dealings with the house of Israel. I can't help but compare the house of Israel to the church of Christ. And He spoke to the house of Israel, and He gave them specific instructions. He said, if you obey, I will bless you and I will prosper. But if you don't obey, if you disobey, if you go and worship those other gods, if you go and follow your own wills, I will destroy you. I believe that those same promises and those same curses apply to us. If we obey and follow God, He will bless us. But if we disobey, He's no respecter of persons and He will destroy us. He will not destroy the church of Christ. This church of Christ will stand forever. So for Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Daniel, he tells us that it was cut out of the mountain without hands and it would fill the whole earth. This church of Christ will never be destroyed. It's up to us. As individuals, if we're part of this Church of Christ, if we're part of this great work, because He is no respecter of persons. Only those who are truly humble and obedient will He use, will He save. Those same promises that He gave to the house of Israel are good today, because God never changes. He's not going to speak one thing to one people and another thing to somebody else, or one thing in one dispensation of time and something else to us in the latter days. Same words. The same promises apply. But the curses for disobedience also apply. So a misconception perhaps that we sometimes have about God is that He's changed. God changes, and because we're under grace and under mercy, that we can sort of justify what we do and what we think and where we go. That He does not look on our sin the same as He looked on the sins of the house of Israel. Why would He look at us? Why would He look at us any differently than He does His people? For we're His people. We're His people in these latter days. God destroyed nations. He destroyed individuals for disobedience. Why wouldn't He do it today? He does it today. God demands obedience, and nothing less is acceptable in His sight. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 9. Just one of the many verses where God has spoken to the house of Israel in the days past. 1 Kings chapter 9, beginning at the 5th verse. Then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel, but if he shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them. The house of Israel, they were prone to that. They would go and serve the pagan gods that were surrounding them. That's why God told them when they went in to destroy everybody, destroy their religion, destroy every man, woman, and child, because He knew that if they didn't, that they would eventually do that. Do we not do the same? Well, we may not bow down to an idol. We may not go and serve these other gods, but do we? Do we serve the God of self? Do we put ourselves ahead of God? Are we actually, don't we worship the things of this life sometimes? Have we chased after other gods, other activities, other things besides God? Have we given our life, our energy, our resources to things that are of no worth? Anything that is above God is an idol. Then will I cut off Israel from out of the land which I have given them. And this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight. And Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And that has been fulfilled. They've been a hiss and a byword for centuries because of disobedience. Another misconception is that we can get away with some sins. We can justify a sin. We can, oh, God will overlook that one. And somehow His love and His mercy will let us get away with disobedience. You know, it's true. God is very loving, and He's very patient, and He's very forgiving. He's all these things. But He's all these things only if we are truly repentant. We can only lay claim on His mercy by obedience. Sometimes we stretch this love and this forgiveness a little bit, I think, for He's no respecter of persons. Question I ask myself. I have to ask myself this sometime. Do I love the world or do I love God? Which do I love? Which, you know, we're in this world and we're bombarded. We're bombarded with all these things and some of the things we take pleasure in. But when the things of the world interfere with our service to God, with visiting somebody that's sick or visiting somebody that may be in spiritual need, if we put our personal pleasure, our personal comfort ahead of serving God, then are we loving the world more than we're loving God? First John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If we love the things of the world, the pleasures of the world, the things that the world can give us, if we love that, then the love of God is not in us. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father. These things that the world has to offer is not of God. He doesn't care. You know, doesn't care for rich or poor. He doesn't care what kind of a car we drive, what kind of a house we live in, what kind of a job we have. He doesn't care about those things. He cares about our hearts. He cares about our character. He cares about our desire. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. I was reading the paper one day, and I was just reading the movie section, you know, and sometimes I scan down there just to see what kind of movies are out there, you know. Can't remember the last time I actually went to one. But I got thinking about it. There was 53 movies that were listed. 19 of them were rated PG-13. 8 were PG. 24 were rated R. There's only 2 that were rated G for general audiences. Of the 19 that were rated PG, all of them, excuse me, were rated PG-19, or PG-19, PG-13 for sexual content. 13 of them for excessive violence. 15 of them for profanity. And 2 of them had nudity. That was PG-13. Of the 8 that were PG, they're rated PG for excessive violence, 2 of them for excessive violence, and 1 of them for profanity. Of the 53 movies listed, 29 of them had excessive profanity, 27 sexual content, 6 of them nudity, and 28 for excessive violence. So I was looking down the list, I didn't see anything I could go see. There wasn't anything there that was worth going to see. If we have cable TV, and this is just one aspect of life, so don't get me wrong, I'm not picking on movies or the entertainment industry or TV, but it's something to be careful of. If you have cable TV in your house, and you have a premium channel, HBO, Showtime, Cinemax, one of those, what are we doing? We're inviting the filth of the world into our house. We are. We're inviting the filth of the world into our house. It's getting to the point, you know, my son and I would be sitting there watching a baseball game or a basketball game, got the remote, especially my son, he's got the remote in his hand. Just about every other commercial, you got to change the channel. You got to change the channel because of the commercials. Prime time on TV. We stopped watching primetime situation comedies a year or two ago. Can't stand them anymore. Can't stand them. The things that they portray, the things that they make fun of. And talking about blasphemy and taking the name of the Lord in vain, I bet you could count 50 times in an evening. Oh, my God. They say it all the time, and we get used to it, and we become hardened to it, and we don't even notice it. God notices it. The lust of the world, the pull of the flesh. Christ came to your house. Would you feel comfortable inviting him to sit and watch a TV show that you were just watching? If he came and knocked at your door, you're halfway through a TV show, invited the Lord in, would you be comfortable having him sit there and watch it with you? Or would you be comfortable to show him the magazine that you were leafing through? It's a question we have to ask ourselves sometimes. Going back to the fifth chapter of 1 John in the third verse. It says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." His commandments aren't grievous. They're not to harm us. They're not to hurt us. Oh, sometimes they're difficult, but they're not grievous. If we keep his commandments, we prosper and our lives are better and we don't get ourselves in trouble. Don't get ourselves in trouble. We're not always looking over our shoulder. We don't have to worry about what's coming behind if we keep God's commandments. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Starting at the first verse. Proverbs 3, verse 1. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." That's one of the promises. When you read the scriptures, and God asks us to do something, there's always a promise attached to it. You do this for me, I will do this for you. It's a reward, so to speak, in this life. It's something that God will give us generally in this life. The ultimate one is if we keep his commandments, if we repent, if we're baptized, and we endure to the end, and we become as a little child, we will have eternal life. That's the promise. That's the ultimate promise. But in this life, there's promises from God. If we keep his commandments, we will be blessed. We will prosper. See, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Peace. Peace of God. You know, we can be in the midst of turmoil and trouble and I don't know what's going to happen to my life and where I'm going and woe is me. But you know, if we're keeping the commandments of God and obedient, we have his peace. We have his peace. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's going on around us or what the situation is in our life. We've all been in situations we'd rather not be. You know, we all have to do things that we'd rather not do. But if we're doing it for the Lord and we're doing it because he asked us to do it or told us to do it or we have to do it, we have a peace. We have a peace. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Don't let these things, this mercy, let not the things of God, not mercy and truth forsake. Don't let them depart from us. Always have truth. Always mercy. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. They should be something that we don't have to think about. They're written there. They're embedded in our hearts and in our minds. Commandments of God should be there that we don't even have to think about what's right and wrong. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. People respect us, but more importantly, we find favor in the sight of God. God blesses his people. He blesses the righteous. I don't care what we say, God will bless his people. He plays favorites. God plays favorites because he blesses his people. But if his people are disobedient and unrighteous, his blessing is taken away. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. We do that all the time, don't we? Lean on our own understanding. What can I do? How can I get through this situation? When I was younger, 30 years ago, I always thought I had to help the Lord. You know, this is what you want me to do, Lord. Well, I got to push it along. I got to help you do this. And it didn't work. It didn't work. God will accomplish his work. If we lean on him, if we trust in him, if we seek his counsel, well, no matter what the situation, it may be difficult, it may be hard, it may be something we don't want to do, but if we do it, He will bless us. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And that's one of the keys to the Scripture. If we acknowledge God, if we go to Him, He will direct us. He will give us answers. He will give us wisdom. He will give us peace. He will give us comfort. He will give us answers. But we have to listen. We have to listen. You know, I'm reminded of that commercial. You know, can you hear me now? The cell phone commercial. Can you hear me now? I sometimes wonder if that's God up there in heaven. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Is there something that's interfering with communication here? Can you hear me now? Sometimes you have to say, no, I can't hear you. Why? Because our hearts and our minds are cluttered with the things of the world. They're cluttered with our own desires. They're cluttered with our own thoughts. We're unwilling to yield our hearts and our minds completely to God. We're unwilling. Oh, we say we are. We say we can. We say we want to. But we're holding on to our own self, to our own wills. Give it up and let God. He will direct our paths. That promise, that promise, that's a promise in this life. If we go to God and humble ourselves and seek His counsel, He will direct our paths. We just have to be willing to allow Him to do it in the way He wants to. Not the way I want to, not the direction I think it should go or how He should answer me, but how He wants to, and we need to be open to that leading. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Let's not think we're too smart. Let's not think that we're all wise. Let's not think that we're equal to God. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And if we do this, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Pay your tithing. Give the Lord His due. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. There's a promise. If we do our part, the Lord only, He requires. That's only the requirement. That's not our obligation. That's only the bare minimum requirement is to give our tithing. We're to give all that we have, all our resources, physically, temporally, spiritually. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth. Even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. When the Lord corrects us, that's because He loves us. If He didn't love us, He would let us get away with it. He wouldn't care. But He corrects us. He directs us. He causes things to happen to change our life, to make us stop and say, hey, am I doing something wrong? Why is this happening to me? You know, we have trials in life. You know, some of them are just that. You know, things happen. Get a flat tire in the rain, you know. Did God do that? No, He had a flat tire in the rain. You know, the AC in our car doesn't work or our house doesn't work. You know, we fall and break a leg, whatever. Those things happen. Stuff happens. But sometimes we have trials that God places before us to humble us, to direct us, if we only yield to it. Sometimes we have a plan that's not exactly for our life is not exactly what God wants us to do. I got my own thoughts, my own desires. We all have. But it may not be exactly what God wants us to do. And He can, like I mentioned before, He can and He will close doors and open doors. You ever ask yourself, why me? Why are all these things happening to me? Why me? You know, woe is me. We get this woe is me attitude sometimes. Why is it so hard for me to do such and such a thing or to accomplish something in my life? Why is it so hard? I prayed about this and I've asked God to direct me and I'm not getting an answer and things are getting worse and everything. Well, maybe sometimes it doesn't work because that's not what God wants us to do. And maybe flat out simple answer. I don't want you to do that. So it's not going to work. Sometimes when we ask God, we're not willing to listen we're not willing to change our thoughts, to change our goals, to change our direction, we're not willing to yield. He may have a completely different idea, a completely different direction, a completely different circumstance for your life than what you have all planned out. Be open to God. Be open. Be content with what you have. You know, we can all want more, be a different place, but be content with where you're at in your life. Allow God to direct you. Be content. Be content. Don't always wanting something different, something more. Be content with where you are today. Sure, work towards something else. Have a goal, have a direction, but be content where you are today. Ultimately, whatever we do, you know, things we want to do, the decisions that we make, they all have to be made with the thought in our mind, how can I serve you, Lord? What is what I'm going to do, where I'm going to go, what I'm going to study, whatever it is, how is this going to help the work of the gospel? How is this going to help my service? Can I serve you doing this? I want to serve you, Lord. Show me how. He may have something in store for you that you never even thought about. We just have to be willing to yield. Have to be willing to yield. Let's not be stubborn in obeying God. Let's not be stubborn in listening. Let's not be stubborn in our own hearts and unwilling to give up our own ideas, our own thoughts. I'm not going to turn to it, but in Revelation, the 18th chapter, it says, God says to come out of her, to come out of Babylon. Be not partakers of her plagues. Be not recipient of the things that is going to happen to the world. We've got to come out of Babylon. We've got to come out of the world. We've got to separate ourselves from the world. Evil men. With evil desires and evil purposes are waxing worse and worse. In this country and other nations of the world, they're there. They're going to try and destroy God's work, God's people. Maybe not knowingly, but by their evil influence and by the things that they entice us to do and want us to do, they're going to try and destroy this work. We have to come out of it. We have to separate ourselves, not even be associated with it. From such, turn away. Not what Paul told Timothy. From such, turn away. Turn away from these evil people, these evil doers. Turn away from the world. Come out of Babylon. Come out of the world. Be separate. We're not even to be part of it. You know, Paul said we have to be in the world. You know, we go to work, we're in the world. We got to listen to things. You've got to associate with people, but you don't have to be part of it. You don't have to participate in their conversation. You don't have to participate in what they do. You don't have to eat with them. You don't have to do things with them. In Ezekiel chapter 33, one of my favorite scriptures. It is because it really tells it like it is. It starts out about the watchman crying. You know, if the watchmen cry and people don't listen, then it's on your shoulders. If watchmen don't cry and you still do wrong, then it's on the watchman's shoulders. But verse 11, chapter 33, verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God doesn't have any pleasure in the wicked people that die. He has no pleasure in that. But that the wicked turn from his way, that's God's purpose. He wants the wicked to turn from their way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness, neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in that day that he sinneth. But a righteous person, if we're righteous and we sin, that's not going to save us. There's no balance. There's no balance. Well, I've done these thousands of good things. I can get away with this little sin. I actually had somebody tell me that one time. I've done all these good things. This one little sin is not going to hurt. There's no balance. If we die in this one little sin, all our righteousness is for nothing. It's not for nothing. Unless we repent. If we turn from our righteousness, all the good things we've done for 40 years, not going to mean anything. Nothing. All God's going to remember is those sins that we committed. But if you're wicked, for 40 years and you turn from your wickedness and live a righteous life, your wickedness will not be remembered. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he has committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of his sins that he has committed shall be mentioned unto him. He has done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. Yet the children of the people say, the way of the Lord is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not equal. O ye house of Israel, I will judge you every one after his ways. The Lord is equal. He will judge us according to our ways, each and every one of us according to our ways. No respecter. No respecter of persons. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. I think it sums it up very nicely. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Be obedient. Keep his commandments. Walk in his statutes, not in the thoughts and the desires of our hearts and our minds. Humble ourselves. Be willing to yield to the Lord. Complete willingness to put our lives in God's hands. God is more than willing to forgive us. Oh, he said that over and over. If you come to me and repent, I will forgive you. That's a promise. But let's not use this promise to justify sinful living, to justify iniquity, to justify walking in our own ways, in our own thoughts. Only the penitent, the truly humble, the truly repentant, will receive forgiveness. What did God say he required of his people? Broken heart. And a contrite spirit. That's what he wants. That's the sacrifice. Broken heart. Broken because of sin. Contrite spirit. Willing to repent. Willing to change. Willing to do whatever is necessary to gain eternal life. That's what he wants. That's the only thing that's acceptable to him. You know, it's hard. I have to say one thing. It's hard to get to heaven. It's not an easy task. It's not something you just pray about and away we go. It's difficult. It's difficult. Getting to heaven is a difficult, lifelong project. When we entered the waters of baptism, we made a commitment that we were going to keep at it for the rest of our lives. Rest of our lives. We made that covenant. We made that covenant. It's hard. But you know, God is faithful. God is faithful. In the third Nephi, in the seventh chapter, 3 Nephi chapter 7, verse 10. The Lord said, behold, I am the law and the light. Look unto me. Simple words from our Master. He says, I'm the law. I'm the law. I gave the law. He will execute the law. He is the law. You know, Christianity is not a democracy. It's not a democracy. There's one lawgiver and one judge. He's it. He is the law. Jay and I were in Honduras one time. We met the local policeman walking down the street. Basically says, I'm the law. I'm the law here. You know, you behave yourself in good terms with me, you're okay. But if you don't, you're in trouble. I am the law. Christ says, I am the law. You obey the law, everything's fine. You disobey the law, big trouble. Big trouble. He's the light. He's our guide. He's our hope. He's our salvation. Look unto me, he said, and endure to the end, and ye shall live. Look unto Christ. Follow his commandments. Be obedient. Humble yourselves. Endure to the end, and ye shall live. For unto him that endureth to the end will I give eternal life. There's that promise. If we endure to the end, we'll have eternal life. But if we stumble and we falter and we give up, it may not be so well. Behold, I have given unto you the commandments. Therefore, keep my commandments. That's God's message. That's his desire for us. That's his commandment. He gave us that commandment. I have given unto you the commandment. I'm going to repeat it. Behold, I have given unto you the commandments. Therefore, keep my commandments. That's his desire for us today. That's his goal for us today. That's his what he wants. It's not a suggestion that we keep his commandments. It is a commandment from God that we keep his commandments. I thank you for your time, and may God bless us in our endeavor to serve him. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. Let's continue to keep our sister Chandra in our prayers. And we're going to ask you to turn to number 167. 167. Would you stand? Would you please bow your heads? Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the reminder of the Scriptures been given unto us this day and for the clarity in which they have been brought unto us. And we ask and pray, Father, that indeed we'll be able to endure unto the end. We'll be able to keep ourselves unspotted from this world, even as we must live in this world. We'll be able to, Father, to take care of our needs and our responsibilities, and yet, Father, show forth a light in this world that others may see. We pray, Father, for the salvation of each one of us and for the salvation, Father, of our nation, that you will bless our leader, that you will bless your ancient covenant people stretched across the face and the breadth of this earth, and for all those who are honest in heart, those who have a desire to learn, to know, to understand, to draw close unto you and to be filled with the spirit of love and compassion. We pray for each one of them. Bless them. Lift them up and strengthen them. Help us, Father, that we can all be together in the end. We ask it and pray it in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.